Rishus, Rashi Akoilu, Chavri Akoilu, Loimdei, in the Koilu. Now Chazal tell us, Asei Teirosecha Kva, Umalachtecha Aroi. Your Torah should be your primary occupation, and your work should be your secondary occupation. What does that mean? And the Rambam says, very, very simply, you have 12 hours extra in a day, because you have to sleep 8 hours, you have to daven, you have to eat. You have 12 hours in a day, and therefore you should work for 3 hours, and you should learn for 9 hours a day. And then your teiroscha will be kva. However, in the modern era, you have a challenge. There aren't any jobs available that can support a family for 3 hours a day. As a matter of fact, if you know of one, let me know first. And as such, today we explain this by our state of mind. It might be the other way. We spend most of our time working, less time learning. But what does one consider one's primary occupation and accomplishment? Is it the Torah or is it the work? And we have to consider our Torah our primary occupation. But since it's just in the mind, how do you know if it's truly so that Torah is my primary occupation? Or I'm just fooling myself. I'm deceiving myself by thinking it's so, but it's not really so. I believe the answer is very simple. What do you do on a day off? When you have a day off, how do you spend that day off? Of course, everyone needs to relax. Everyone needs to rest. Everyone needs to spend time with their family. But do they dedicate extra time to learning on that day? If they do, then a person is showing that within their hearts, this is their primary occupation. This is what they'd really like to do. Just they're busy the rest of the time. If they don't, then it's not so. And therefore, when people gather together on a morning like this, and they spend a few hours in the Kollel, it's not merely the few hours that you're spending this morning. It's a statement about the entirety of your life. What is of paramount importance to you? Today's topic is confidentiality, the halachic and legal guidelines. And the Chafetz Chaim discusses confidentiality in 3 places. Number 1, look at page 7. He writes, this is in Lashon Hara Klal Tes Eisvav, Ha'oimer l'chaveiroi eze dover. You tell a friend something. Osoloi l'saper achakach la'acherem. You mustn't repeat it to someone else. Unless you have permission to repeat it. So you need permission to repeat something. That's one place. Now turn to page 8. He says, Hilchos Rechilus Klal Ches Eis Hei, V'chayev Odom Lahastir Hasoid. Person is obligated to keep confidential a secret. If something was said in confidentiality, even though there isn't any harm, nevertheless you have to keep it a secret. The third place the Chafetz Chaim discusses it, look at it, page 6. Im echad gila chaveray, v'apetlasa inyan iskoy mischaray ki yaitu zeh, dvar masha bestama osur, achakach lagalis achar. you mustn't repeat something, let's say private, about business. Pen yuchel agia lozei hezek haitzar, because it will cause him harm or pain. There are three places the Chafetz Chaim says that you're not allowed to repeat something. These are three different halachas, as he writes himself in Be'er Mayim Chaim. The first halacha, first in the order that we said them today, is a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which is found on page 3. It says, Vayikra el Moshe vayedaber. There are a few lessons we learn from it. And finally, it says, Oma Rabba, Menayin lo'imel dover l'chaveirish hu bal yoymar. How do you know if I tell someone something to someone, you must not repeat it? Ad yoymar l'cho emor, until the person says you have permission to repeat it, she'nema v'yedaba Hashem elov ma'oil mayed leymar. What's the word leymar? Hashem said, I'm telling it to you, and you may repeat it. Must be that if you don't get permission to repeat it, you're not allowed to repeat it. Now, what did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? He told him Torah. But nevertheless, you have no permission to repeat something unless you have unless there's explicit permission. The second Chafetz Chaim that we learned, which was on page 8, is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is found on page 4. Tana Rabbana, Menayin l'kishayetzi, when you leave a bezin, lo yoymer, a dayan is not allowed to say, Hareini mezake v'chaveri mechayvim. I really voted in your favor. It was the other dayanim who ruled against you. Aval ma esesh chaveri rabbalai, but I was outvoted 2-1. Talmud loy meloy seylech rachel ba'mecha, v'oy mehoylech rachel megalasait. That is the source, the Chofetz Chaim says himself, on the second one that we learned, which was on page 8. The first one that says don't repeat something, the last thing that we learned, which is but the first in the Chofetz Chaim on page 6, which we learned that don't repeat something that will cause someone damage, is found on page 1, Pasuk and Chumash. Le'seilach rachel ba'mech. And the Chofetz Chaim explains as follows. The first halacha, which is don't repeat something unless you have permission, that is a midah tova. It's a correct and code of conduct. It's not a din, it's a midah tova. The second din, don't repeat something which is told to you as a secret, which is based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that is a derabanan. Pasuk says, Hoylach rachel megalasait. The third thing we learned, which is, don't repeat something that causes someone damage, that is a deraisa of v'seilach rachel b'mecha. The first thing is about any piece of information. The second thing is about a private piece of information. The third thing is about a piece of information which will cause harm or damage to someone else. So the Chafetz Chaim has three categories. Things that it's not proper to repeat, things that you now repeat midrabanan, things you now repeat midrasim. If you look in the Paiskim and you look in the Marshal, he really says there are four categories. Because the first category, do not repeat something, if you don't have permission, can be divided into two also. There are certain things that people tell you. You meet someone in the street, they tell you a piece of information. It's not private. Nor was the context that it was told to you private. Then you have something else. You have information which is not private. However, the context in which it was told to you, someone calls you into his office, locks the door and tells it to you. So although the information is rather mundane, but there's an expectation of privacy. The Marshal says, the Gemara that says, Menayin, if someone tells you something, you shouldn't repeat it. Shehu bebal yoymar, which sounds like an iser, not just a midah tova, is referring to the second thing. Why? Hashem called Moshe Rabbeinu into the Ohel Moed. Why did he call him to the Ohel Moed? Because he spoke to him in the middle of the street. Well, if he called him into the Ohel Moed, then you need a leymar. But if Hashem would have told it to him on the street, then there wouldn't be an Isser Bal Yomer. So what is there? Yes, someone tells you information. So there's a Meiri that says that if someone tells you something, you shouldn't repeat it without permission, albeit it's not private, nor is there a context of an expectation of confidentiality. The Pasuk says, Hoylech Rachel Megala Sait. Watch the end of that Pasuk. V'nemon Ruach Mechasa Davar. A person who has a loyal spirit, a person who's discreet, remains discreet. And therefore, as such, there's really four madregas. There's a midah of discretion. Someone tells you something, don't repeat it. It's not an isser. That's what we call ne'mon ruach mechasadavah. Then there's something, someone tells you something which is not private, but it was said in a context which there's an expectation of not repeating it. That is the Gemara in Yuma, Bal Toimar. Then there's something which is a secret. It is private. It doesn't cause harm if anyone knows about it, but people want to keep their own personal business private. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hoylech Rachel Megala Sait. Finally, there's when someone tells you something which would cause the person harm. If you repeat it, that's the Issa Derais of Leseilech Rachel Bamecha. Now it's interesting to note, when you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it says a dayan's now repeat something, Shenema leiseilach rachel bamecha, which is a pasuk in Chumash, v'ayma heilach rachel megalasoid, which is a pasuk in Mishli. The answer is, when a dayan repeats something, sometimes it can cause a person harm. If it was a financial dispute, it was a dispute about some invention or whatever. Sometimes it's just unpleasant that you are personal details get revealed. And that's why the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do it, shenema leseilach rachel amecha. And then he says, v'aymer, even if it doesn't cause any harm, so the person's not a rachel, but nevertheless it says, hoylech rachel megala soit. This thing of the is of gili soit in Chuvis Maya, it says it's not only verbally, it could be written in written form also. It doesn't say the word of dibur. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there was a certain Talmud who was told something privately, and 22 years later, he repeated it, and they called him in the Beis Medrash Galya Raza. He's a revealer of secrets. He's not a discreet person. And what you see is there's no statute of limitations on keeping secrets. So we defined four categories. Someone tells you something. No, it's not private. It wasn't said in the context of privacy. Nevertheless, there is a midah of neman ruach mechasadava. Someone tells you something which is not private, but it's said in a context where it looks like there's an expectation of privacy. There, that's the isser bal taymar, to repeat it without express permission. Next is, if you know something which is private, and the information itself, person doesn't want it revealed, but it doesn't cause him any harm, that's Hoylech Rachel Megala Sait. That's a Drabanan. And finally, if you repeat information which causes someone harm, that's an Issa Derais of Leiseilech Rachel Pamecha. What about revealing your own secrets? A lot of things that people would rather kept private. But it's my secret. It's mine. I could say it. If you look in the Sefer Pele Yoyetz, so Musa Sefer, which has Pele Yoyetz, good Eitzes, he says, Lo yegala afilu soydis atzmoy l'acher. Do not repeat your own secrets to someone. Shenema neman ruach mechasadover. He says, neman ruach mechasadover, you should be neman to yourself, not just to other people. Furthermore, it says, Vesatznuim chachma. Furthermore, he writes, Al tegalila oyavecho mash'ata mechasa meseinecha. Don't tell your friends what you don't want your enemies to know. He says, Yaakov Avinu spoke to Leah and Rachel out in the field. Never talk secrets in the house. You never know who's overhearing you. Shoyme pivul l'shoynei, shoyme mitzaras nafshei. And therefore, he says, the midah of discretion is not only a bein adam lechaveray, but you should know it's a bein adam leatzmai. A discreet person doesn't disclose things unnecessarily. Now, let's go further. Eavesdropping. I want to listen to someone's conversation. Whether in the old-fashioned sense, it's called eavesdropping because there used to be eaves on houses. Cut England, you still have them. And you can stand under the eave and listen to someone else's conversation. Today you can do it electronically a lot easier. Now, it's a very not nice thing to do. But is it an isser to eavesdrop to someone's conversation? And the Poskim can talk about it, and they say four possible sources that it's usser menadin to do so. In Tshuva's Chikkei Leiv, he says, you don't like it when people listen to your conversations, you shouldn't listen to other people's conversations. In the Sefer Halachas Ketanis, Tshuva's Halachas Ketanis, he says, we learn it out from Loiseilach Rachel Bamecha. Loiseilach Rachel means don't go around like a gossip. He says there's no different being a gossip or comporting yourself like a gossip, whether you're trying to get gossip or you're revealing gossip. It's a leiseilach rachel ba'amecha. The third category, which we have to know if such a category exists, is hezek shmia. When you learn Bava Basra, you know there's something called hezek ria, and you have to put up a fence between neighbors, a wall. Good walls makes good neighbors. What about Shmia? Even if I put up a wall, but I can listen to the conversations going in my neighbor's side of the yard. So the Meiri says, because Shmia people could be nizer from. They'll talk quietly, they'll talk softly, they'll write things down. That's why Chazal only discuss a Hezek Ria, not Hezek Shmia, because Hezek Shmia, albeit it's usser, but you can be protect yourself from. Ramban in Bava Basra Daf Nuntes says that what's wrong with Hezek Ria, or what's the damage? He says one, Ayin Hara, two, Lishna Bisha, three, Tznias. The last two apply to Hezek Shmia. However, in Tshuvas Ra'im, Simen Ches, he says that there's no such thing as Hezek Shmia, and that's why it only says to put a wall, not a soundproof wall. So we have a machleikis in the Paiskim. Is there such a thing as Hezek Shmia? According to those that there is something called Hezek Shmia, eavesdropping constitutes Hezek Shmia. In Tshuva's Chikkei Leiv, he says it's also because of Gneivas Das. So therefore, eavesdropping has four potential isurim. After Yacha Kamecha, Leiseilach Rachel Bamecha, Hezek Shmia, and Gneivas Das. What's the difference between them?
If you're sitting in Spanish after Myrit, and some guy two tables behind you is having a very private conversation, and he, for some reason, thinks that you can't hear so well, you will have to leave.
Okay, we'll discuss that. But what is the difference between the reasons? Can you eavesdrop on a conversation of a nachri? There's no v'hafter re'acha kamoicha or le'seilach rachel ba'amecha on a guy, only on a yid. But the issa of hezek and the issa of gneivas das applies to a guy. Don't see why not. If you're not be mazik, so you have to be achakas nezakon also. Next, Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Came along Rabbeinu Gershom and said, do not read letters that one person sent another person. Why not? The answer is, all the reasons we explained on eavesdropping. Tshuva's Teres Chaim says, it's also when you...
Cherem de Rabbeinu
Gershom. That's what we're going to answer. Now...
Why do you need Cherem if there's already a sir?
Two people asked. Now... There's another issa. When you pick up someone's letter, Yoiva Shoyal Shalom Adas. So the question is asked, Vishnayim Eidim Yakum Dover, why did Rabbeinu Gershon have to make a cherem on something which is plain usr? We know Rabbeinu Gershon shouldn't marry two wives. Okay. That's something that he created, invented. But why would he make an echerim on something which is plain usr? And the truth is, if you look in Chuvas Noid B'Yehuda, Eben Ezra, Chelek Aleph, Simen Ayin Hei, and Ayin Zayin, Chuvas from Sofer, Eben Ezra, Simen Gimel, that there are really two types of Cherim Rabbeinu Gershons. There are certain things that Rabbeinu Gershon instituted and he invented. He came up with certain ideas for a Tikkun HaOlam, don't marry two wives, don't divorce Bal Karchach, whatever it is. There are other things that were already usr. He saw people were lax in it, and he was mechazik it with a cherim. The first type of cherim Rabbeinu Gershon, which is the ones we're most accustomed to, those are the rabbanans. Rabbeinu Gershon made an isser. Rabbeinu Gershon, as great as he was, can't make an isser deraisa. He says the second type of cherim Rabbeinu Gershon, where something was already usr. So he was mechazik it by putting you in cherim. Well, that's a deraisa of nedarim, and therefore the second type of cherim Rabbeinu Gershon is more chamer than the first type of Rabbeinu Gershon. Now, although the cherim was on everything we discussed before, however, the words of the cherim were on a letter, on something which is written. Written could be a letter. We say a letter, but if it's anything written, it could be personal documents, it could be a fax, it could be information on a computer. Eavesdropping, as bad as it is not included in Cherim Rabbeinu Gershon. Now, some people write on the outside of a letter, Pagin Chargama, Peretz Geder Yitzchenu Nachash, Cherim Rabbeinu Gershon, which means don't read it. Why do you have to write it? First of all, it happens to be usr for many reasons. And further, Rabbeinu Gershon made a cherim. So there is a shulta geborim in Shuas that says that if you want to activate the cherim, you have to write these words. The halachas ketanas chikkei leiv say there's no such thing. He made a cherim, and that cherim goes no matter what. In the Knesset HaGdolah, he says that Rabbeinu Gershon did two things. He made an isr and a cherim. The isser is regardless, for the cherim you have to activate it. What happens? You walk down the street and you find a letter. This letter is open. It's thrown out, discarded. Can you pick it up and read it? So in Chuvas Meram Rottenberg, he says yes. Obviously the recipient of the letter has no problem with you reading it because he tossed it out on the street. In Chuvas Halachas Ktanis and Chikkei Leiv says, but how do you know that the sender isn't Makbet? Now this is L'chayra Machleikis. It's Chayra Rabbeinu Gershon. If someone receives a letter and he wants to show it to me, am I allowed to read it? According to Meram Rottenberg, yes. According to the Halachas Ktanis and the Chikkei Leiv, you're not allowed to send it because you're not allowed to show it to someone. Because the sender might be Makbet. Where did they get this idea from? You'll ask anyone, the Pashtus is, it's totally in the recipient. And the recipient can share information with everyone they want. Where did they get this idea that it's usr?
You see
their
language. You gave them permission.
Okay, but that's not an isser. That's my Chavetz Chaim says it's a midah tayyeh. So they prove it from Malachim, Pasuk in Malachim. David HaMelech, as he's about to die, tells Shlomo HaMelech, V'gam ata yadata es asher asher li Yoav ben Tzruya. You know what Yoav did to me, and make sure he doesn't have a pleasant ending. What is it that Yoav did to him? Zot Rashi, Shehera ha-sefer she-shalach David b'yad Uriah. David HaMelech sent a letter with Uriah to Yoav, which told Yoav, take Uriah and put him on the front. Like this, he'll die and he'll be able to marry Bathsheba. Yoav showed it to Uriah. In fact, the Chikkelev, the Halachas Ketanis, what was the Avla? It's his letter. He's the recipient. The recipient is allowed to show it to someone. So they say, Vayestais, that you're not allowed to. If the sender didn't want you, and David HaMelech surely didn't want him to send it, you're not allowed to show it.
Why is that Rechilas?
I didn't say Rechilas. Which Isser is it? All the ones of eavesdropping. Halachas Ktanis.
That applies to even saving the life.
Okay, I'm saying let's isolate this. Halachas Ktanis asks the question, what if Uriah was delivering the letter to Yoav, what should he have done? He says he's not supposed to read it for the reasons behind Cheran Ben Agashi. To give it back to David HaMelech, don't want to deliver it, he'll send it with another delivery person. So what should he have done? He said he should have ripped it up. Because ripping it up to protect yourself would be mutter. You just had no right to read it. Anyway, that having been said, there is a machlekes. Does Cherem Derabbeinu Gershom apply when the recipient is happy to share it and the sender is not? Now, the most obvious contemporary application of this is pushing the forward button on an email. You get an email, and the easiest thing in the world, and people do it many times a day, it's interesting, they forward it. Why? I want to share it. The question is, did the sender want to share it also? Now, of course, if it caused damage to the sender, that's already going to be rechilas. But even if it doesn't cause any damage, is it including Chayin HaBen Geshem? This is this machlekes. What about you want to show it to your family? Someone sends you an email, a letter, and you'd like to show it to your family. Is that also included in Cheira Ben Gershon? So in the Sefer Das Kedoshim in Simon Shin Lamadalit, he says a very interesting, novel thought. He says, the halacha is if someone gives you something to watch, you can give it to your wife and children, or your parents for that matter, to watch, because kol ha-mafkid al das ishtei abanav ha-mafkidim. If someone sends you a letter, they know that it's going to be shown to your family. However, even this probably has a limitation, depending on the contents of the letter, will it cause damage? So to review what we've said so far, there's a concept from the Pele Yayetz of discretion. Don't repeat your own private information. There's next, a midah tov of neman ruach machasa dava. Someone tells you something, don't repeat it. There's next, that if a person tells you something and the context shows an expectation of privacy, you need explicit permission to repeat it. That's a Gemara and Yuma of Bal Yomer. Next, someone tells you something, or you have knowledge of something which a person wants to be remain private, albeit it causes the person no damage, that is an Isser of a Derabbanan of Hailach Rachel Magal Said. Not to repeat something which would cause someone harm, that is an Issa Dereis of Leseilach Rachel Amecha. Eavesdropping would include after Acha Kamecha Rechilus Gnevis Das Hezek Shmia. Chein Rabbeinu Gershom includes all of the above. Now let's take some examples. One's own secrets, Pele Yayetz says, do not reveal. That's seemingly self-explanatory. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Talmud Chacham is mutter l'shanais v'shloisha dvarim. Talmud Chacham is allowed to deceive in three things. Ba'orcha b'mesachta b'poria. Ba'orcha means if someone hosted you very graciously, you shouldn't repeat it, even if you're asked, because it might cause someone damage. Mesachta is, someone asks you, do you know this? That's another. When my son was 9 years old, my oldest son, it's a bit of a phenomena, and he memorized all of Bava Metzia. And I took him to my yeshiva, Shmuel Birnbaum, that's all, to take him a feher. So the first question the yeshiva asks him is, you can't mesachta Bava Metzia? Do you know Bava Metzia? Son doesn't answer. He says, you can't Bava Metzia? Doesn't answer. So Yeshiva tells him, you came here for a head. Do you know Bava Metzia? Doesn't answer. He tells me, I can Bava Metzia. Because it says on Daf Chav Gimel that a Talmud Chacham mutter l'shanais b'mesachta. Then you have Bepuria. Bepuria literally means matters of personal privacy, personal intimacy and privacy. There's a sefer called Titan Emes Liyakov about when you're supposed to say the Emes and when you're allowed to prevaricate. And he says, he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Eliashiv a question. Someone comes to your door and wants to speak to you. So if he's a polite person, you can send someone to say he's not available. There are some people who don't take no for an answer. And unless you explain to them what you are doing, and in their eyes it's more important than what they want, they're not going to take no for an answer. Are you mechuyif? And you are doing something important. Are you mechuyif to explain it? And he says there that both Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv said, you can tell the person to go to the door and say, he's not home. Why? Because Talmud Chacham mutar lishanos bepuria privacy doesn't mean pure privacy matters. Anything, you're not obligated to disclose your personal business to other people. Of course, you have to be very careful when your kid goes to don't say, my father said he's not home. But nevertheless, you should know that that is mutar. Tell you an interesting story. When I moved to Gates, and so the second day I was there, it's quite jet lagged. And sure enough, Rabbi Falk came to visit. And I was sleeping. So he knocked on the door. My wife opened up. And said he wants to visit the Rav. And my wife said, he's napping. So he told her, you don't ever say the Rav is napping. You say that he's preparing his share. My wife said, but he's not preparing his share. She said, first of all, how does your husband prepare the share? He's rested. The information's in his head. Nonetheless, you have to be rested to put it together. That's how he prepares shiurim. So first of all, it's not a lie. Second of all, you're not mechuyev to go tell people what your husband is doing. Well, at that time, it was interesting. Later, in Achachti Ladas, it says in Tshuvas Melamed Lahoyel, Shetziva Leishtei, whenever he went to take a rest, he told his wife, tell everyone I'm preparing a share. You're not mechuyev to disclose personal information, although it's not top secret. Next, someone tells you something, don't repeat it. That's a midah tova. Someone tells you something in a context of expectation of privacy, like Moshe Rabbeinu, that's an issur bal tamar. Someone tells you something private, give an example. Someone tells you about a shidduch. You know, my son is going out with so-and-so and it looks serious. The next person comes and says, tell me, you know what's doing by so-and-so and thing? Is his son going out? Is the shidduch serious? In the Sefer Titan Emes Liyakov, it says, both Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Eliashiv said, you could say, eini yedea. Because, like you say, Bepuria means people are allowed to maintain privacy. This halacha that a dvar seser, even though it doesn't cause harm, which is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it about a bezdin. Because Sefer Sanhedrin is talking about a bezdin. The pasuk in Mishlei has nothing to do with a bezdin. Hoylech Rachel Megala Said is about an expectation of privacy. In Tshuvas Marnach, it says this is true not only about a dayan, but anyone who's appointed by the tzibur to deal with tzarchei tzibur, there's an expectation of privacy, and he has an issur to repeat what went on. In a board meeting of a shul, you're not allowed to repeat it. In Tshuvas Marnach Siman Kuf Yud Aleph says, V'ha'oisekein, someone's a mamuna ala tzibur, and he repeats what happened. Possibly manas metuveyeir. He's disqualified from serving the community. Rabbi Englander asks, what happens in your shul and you overhear people talking, what should you do? You should know. The Sefer Chassidim already discussed it. Sefer Chassidim says if they're talking something private in Beis Medrash and you're overhearing it, Yelech lebeisav yispalol levad. You should go home and daven biyachidus. Even if you miss a minyan. Obviously they were talking even in the middle of davening. Or it could be they were having a meeting in the ladies' shul and you're davening in the men's shul, but you happen to overhear, go home.
How was Mordechai able to listen to the big son of Sarah?
So, might address it, but they were goyim at least, so you had, there was no baf after Acha Kameichem, they said Acha Rachel Pamechem.
There's no baf in Klasa?
No. Now, that was the Chavetz Chaim we read on page 6. What about this Te'elis? We know in Hilchos Lashon Hara, you allowed to say Lashon Hara when it's a Te'elis for someone. Are you allowed to repeat secrets with Te'elis? And Ibn Nissen Karelitz writes in Chut HaShani that he once did a Din Torah on a divorce case. And then one of the people, someone asked about Shidduch information about one of the people, one of the litigants in the Din Torah, and it so happened to be that this is the person who was totally blameless. And therefore, he was thinking, can I repeat? Although there's an expectation of privacy in the Beis Din, but here it's Mamish L'Te'elis. Of course, he could ask permission, but is this L'Te'elis Mutter? So he went to ask his uncle, the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said that Te'elis is a heta in Lashon Hara, but not in Gili Said, because he still wore Megala Said. Ad Kan HaSipur. And he says he wonders, what's the difference? I believe the answer is very pashut, and it's included in the words of the Chazon Ish. The reason why Lashon Hara is mutter l'te'elis is because it's not Lashon Hara anymore. Lashon Hara is negative talk, harmful talk, and when there is a te'elis, it's not harmful anymore. It's not Lashon Hara, it's Lashon Tov. As a matter of fact, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Ahagah, in Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud, Halacha Yudalit in Ahagah, that if a person has a need to vent, normally we say te'elis, I tell Lashon Hara te'elis because the Shemeya needs to know about it. What happens if I have absolutely no interest in it, and the person wants to vent to me, and he has a need to talk? Shteit in Chavetz Chaim, that's also called te'elis. Te'elis doesn't have to be for the Shemeya, the te'elis can be for the Medaber. He says, how do I know such a thing? It's the Pasuk, the Agba Lavish, Yasechena. I have a worry. Talk to someone else. You think someone really cares about my worry? It's just healthy to talk. And therefore, it's a te'elis.
But what are the mazis, the person that they're talking about?
No, that we're not talking about. Just too much off the topic for the moment. But it's called the te'elis. Rechilus, if it's a te'elis, it's still rechilus. Gili soy, that's what the Chazon Ish said. That even if it's te'elis, it's still gili soid. You're not taking away the fact that you're being megala aside. And there's no such, it's not a asay deichalois asay in te'elis. That te'elis overrides anything. It's just te'elis makes it ois lashon hara. When it comes to rechilis, and here we're only talking about a derabanan rechilis, because in the Beis Din, nevertheless, it doesn't override. Now you have a question. I have personal information. And it was told to me with a expectation of privacy, and revealing it will cause actual harm to the person. That's an issa d'reis of leiseilach rachel b'amecha. However, if I don't reveal it, I'm causing harm to someone else. Am I allowed to reveal it? Let's give some examples. You're a doctor, and you know that a person has serious illness, and he's meeting someone for shidduchim, and he's not repeating it. Are you allowed to repeat it? I'm talking about the halacha first. You're a doctor, and you know a person is losing their eyesight, and they're still driving, and they're still driving. They have a contagious disease, and they're walking around. You're causing spiritual harm to other people. But I know this as a secret, told in the context of a secret, which is private, which will cause someone else harm. What am I supposed to do? Give a look at page 1. Page 1, it says, Loiseilach Rachel Ba'amecha. Then the end of the pasuk is, Loisamoid al Damriecha. What?
I would destroy my chazit.
Well, my chazit tells me to do nothing. Oh. So, Loisamoid al dam re'echa. Samadam Re'acha is you have to prevent people from harm, from drowning, from even financial loss. Why are these two in the same pasuk? Generally in Chumash, things go together. These are two separate Isurim. There's one, don't be a gossip, and number two, if someone's drowning, save them. Zot the Netziv in Hamik Davitz, I think it's in page 2, at the end. Ve'oid nichlal besmichas azaras helu, she'afal gaf, she'uzharta le'seilach rachel, even though you were commanded le'seilach rachel, v'chol mokam le'samed al dam re'acha. The Torah qualifies le'seilach rachel b'amech with le'samed al dam re'acha, that if you know that someone's going to harm someone else, you're mechuyiv to do it. The smichas of the Torah is to teach you that le'seilach rachel b'amecha has an override called le'samed al dam re'acha. That's how the Netziv learns Chumash. If you look in the Pesachei Tshuva on Erechaim Kufnun Vav, it's a separate sefer, this Pesachei Tshuva, and he says as follows, Kol ha'olam mar'ishim al le'seilach rachel. The whole world screams about le'seilach rachel, the old types of Lashon Hara campaigns and Lashon Hara chizuk. Vani marish al le'samed al dam re'acha. I would like to scream a bit about people who don't reveal information. Shlaim Kluge's daughter seemingly fell in terribly in the shidduch, and he wrote a whole sefer about the rishis of the people who didn't tell him what they all knew when they knew that his daughter was going out. So what we see is that when there's a le'samed al dam re'acha, this overrides the le'seilach rachel ba'amecha. Not only does it override, but you're mechuyev to do so. The question is, if you look in Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yoina Klal Gimel Reish Chaf Aleph, it says you're allowed to repeat it because le'sam adam re'echa. So Shlomo Zalman asks, what do you mean you're allowed to repeat it? You have to repeat it. So in Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer says, Rabbeinu has to tell you you're allowed to repeat it. Once you're allowed to, then you're mechuyev to. That's obvious. The question is, who said that you're allowed to in the first place?
The Roth example of Carlos Allen should be on both ways.
What do you mean?
I tell people that I'm going to harm the doctor.
We're talking the doctor has the shama. The doctor knows that someone is legally blind and he's driving. So if he repeats it, the guy is going to go to jail. And if he doesn't repeat it, then this person is going to knock over people. So that is le'samed al dam re'acha.
In the case of the shidduch example, he could use a license for revealing that information. So.
We know that. We'll discuss the conflicts, but first we're teaching halacha. And as a matter of fact, just on the topic of shidduchim itself, which is a topic on its own, we're going to have a share here in the Kaidel Thursday night at 9:15, which information should be disclosed and which one not. But halachically, you're mechuyev to disclose it. Of course, one needs to exercise judgment. When is it le'seilach rachel b'amecha, and when is it le'samed al dam re'echa? But nevertheless, you should know there is a tension between the two. There's another question. If you're a doctor, there's something called the Hippocratic Oath, which you swear, or used to do it at least, to swear to confidentiality. So l'chayra, dal mahacha, le'seilach rachel b'amecha, if you're going to repeat information that protects people, you're going to be oivish was shaker. And the answer might be, give a look in page 5. The Rama says, Yesh oimim da nishpa shaloi legalis lechaveira idova shiyatsi lenu mena hefsid, havi nishpa levatl mitzvah v'einaychal. You can't swear to not to repeat things which cause damage. That's a shua against the Torah. And therefore, the shua is not chal. Rabbi Yashiv says it's not so poshut because here you made the shua before you got the information. Furthermore, it's a kailul because you kailul all information with this specific information. So he says you should do hataras nadara. Tzitz Eliezer says, I never meant it in Azar Eifin.
Isn't the understanding of the shua for the future though?
What? It wasn't going on the past. It didn't say it's going on the past.
So what was Rabbi Yassu
was saying that the case of the Rama is that when I swore, I knew it was information that will harm people. As opposed to here, when I swore, I meant it for the future.
When a doctor has a responsibility to report something that's something about a special,
right,
a legal situation.
Right.
The person that went to the doctor knew beforehand that he's going to say.
He's going to say. Okay. So, first we wanted to establish that the Sama Dam Re'echa overrides the Seilech Rachel Dam Echa. Now, I just want to point out something. If you're going to become a doctor, or a therapist, or the like, there are civil laws of maintaining confidentiality, unless there's harm, and the halachic laws. It so happens to be that the definition of harm in halacha and the definition of harm in civil law are two totally different things. In civil law, it means suicide or homicide. In halacha, it could mean any damage, a shidduch. There's no such thing in civil law that you can reveal something confidential because of a shidduch. Or even financial loss, the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says, is leisamed al adam re'echa. What happens if it's spiritual harm? One person is causing someone else spiritual harm. It was told to you in privacy. In halacha, you're allowed to repeat it. In civil law, you're not allowed to. As a matter of fact, there was a famous lawsuit in New York State where a woman revealed to two rabbanim that she doesn't keep taras hamishpacha. And they went and told her husband, and she went and sued them for violating the clergyman penitent confidentiality rule. Now the judge must have been Jewish because his ruling was, one, that she told it to two rabbanim at the same time, not one, so there's no expectation of confidentiality. But the second one was a chiddush. He said that the client, the priest, penitent, confidentiality is to prevent the priest from being compelled to testify in court against his client. But there is no law, expectation between the client and the priest. Like, they must have been a yid to come up with such a chiddush in such a matter, which is totally ruchnius and not physical harm. So I don't try it in Florida. Well, maybe you could. But don't try it in Washington, D.C. at least, because you're not going to win a case on that. But you have to know that when you get into a situation such as this, and any other professions helping people, you're going to have a conflict between the two. And think about it in advance what you're going to do. Some people deal with from people, sign a contract with them that anything that I'm halachically obligated to reveal, as decided by so-and-so, I'm going to reveal, then you don't have an expectation. Sometimes you can't do that. But, as they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You're going to find yourself in a lot of hot water, because I'll be telling you, you're going to have to do one thing, and by civil law, or basically on your licensing board, you might have to do something else, and you're going to get yourself a lot of trouble, and you're going to need a lot of ingenuity to get yourself out of it. Chazon Ish told them this in Karelitz, when people ask you anything, before you say anything, you should say, I'm a Dayan and I don't talk about people. I can't reveal anything. The Sod Miktza'i. It's a professional secret. That was his advice. And you should know, if you treat people, you get into, first of all, generally, if you treat people, you shouldn't even acknowledge that you have a patient, or that person's your patient. More so, you get yourself in a lot of trouble that when you give information about someone, when it's positive, but when it's negative, you say, well, I'm not allowed to talk. Besides, that itself is negative, and that itself is Lashon Hara. The only thing to do is, if you're in one of the professions which have an expectation of confidentiality, you have to say in advance, you know, I'm a doctor, I don't give shidduch information. Is that person a patient of yours? No, I just don't, because that's the only way to fulfill it. Very briefly, because it's getting late, what about you want to protect a secret which you told someone? So in civil law, you sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. Are these agreements valid in halacha? So one, you have a no disclosure contract. He obligates themselves not to disclose. The contract in halacha won't be valid because this is called a kinyan dvarim. A kinyan can only work on effectuating a transaction. You can't have a kinyan to do something. What about a hischaivus? A hischaivus with a shibud aguf can work on a kinyan, on something which is a kinyan dvarim. I could be mischaiv myself to give you a present with a shibud. So will this work? I'll mischaiv myself with a shibud not to disclose. The answer is machlekes nesivus hamishpat and divrei chayim. Can there be a hischaivus on a negative, on not doing something? Can have a schaivus to do something, can you have a schaivus not to do something? So the next thing is to make a schaivus with a knas. I won't disclose it, and if I do disclose it, I'm going to pay you X. There you have a kinyan on mammon. You still have a problem with asmachta leikanya. If you write ma'achshav, if I disclose it, I will hereby pay you X, Y, Z, from, and I'm a chuya from now, according to the mechaber, you took away the problem of asmachta. According to the Ramah, even if you said ma'achshav, and even if it's biyadcha, if the penalty is exaggerated, that's also called an asmachta. As the Ramah says, if you say im oiver v'loy avid, if a worker says, if I won't work, ashalom b'meitav works, ashalom elav zuz, it doesn't work according to the Ramah. So how would you make a non-disclosure agreement that should be valid in halacha? And the only answer is the same way you'd make a shtar for Yerushas Habanis. The person will make a schaivus, I hereby obligate myself, me'achshav u'bebez n'choshav, right now, for a penalty, and that penalty could be whatever it is, $10 million, on the t'nai, but if I don't disclose it, you're me'achshav u'bebez. That is the only way that it will be halachically valid. This is also true about non-compete clauses. Non-compete clauses, at least in England, don't usually stand up even in a civil court because they're not fair, and there's something called the fairness doctrine. But even if it would stand up in civil court, it's not going to stand up in the Beis Din. The only way it will stand up in the Beis Din, if it's a schaivus ma'achshav, an unconditional, a debt which is schaivus from now based on a condition which the non-disclosure is the tenai. This is the only way to do it halachically. This is a basic outline of the laws of confidentiality in halacha. Just maybe end with a Dvar Agada. I heard before of Elbaum talking about why was the Churban Shulay Birchu B'Torah Tchila, and he asked, because they didn't say Birch Sater, it's only an Asay. That's why you have a Churban? And he gave a beautiful answer. There's a more fundamental question. Who learns without making a Birch Sater? I know many people who make Birch Sater and don't learn. My whole life I've never met anyone who learns without Birch Sater. Now we know the Ran brings a teretz Rabbeinu Yoina, and some Sefer says in there, but I've never met anyone with who doesn't say Berachas HaTorah, learns without Berachas HaTorah. The truth is, it's if you're medayik in the Gemara says Shlei Birchu B'Torah Tchila. Sounds like they did make Berachas HaTorah. They just didn't say it before they started learning. They said it in the middle of learning. That's even more perplexing. Because who learns and makes Birchas HaTorah but doesn't make it before you learn? What's the problem with the Gemara? The Gemara earlier says, why is it that Talmid HaChachamim who have children are not Talmid HaChachamim? Shalai Baruch B'Torah Tchila. Shein Mevaruchim B'Torah Tchila. Even more perplexing, we're talking about people that the Gemara calls Talmid HaChachamim. So I want to relate to you a thought. There are two types of brachas. Birchas HaMitzvahs and Birchas HaNehenim. Birchas HaMitzvahs are said before you do the mitzvah, because kol habrachos mevarchim aleihem over l'asiyasa. What happens if in the middle of the mitzvah you can make a bracha also? Over l'asiyasa is just the chatchila. According to Raman Hoshchiti, you can even make a bracha afterwards. Birchas hanahenin you have to make beforehand, because asa lahanas mo'ilam hazeh b'lai bracha. What is our learning? Our birchas haTorah, of course everyone makes birchas haTorah, but is our birchas haTorah a birchas hamitzus, or is it a birchas hanahenin? Nafkamina is, can you make it in the middle of learning? That chazal, if a person learns, and he's a Talmud Chacham, aber sein bracha is a birchas hamitzus, he can't transmit it to the next generation. It's a sense of obligation, it's a burden, you can't give it over to other people. Only if it's a birchas hanahenin that you have to say in advance, that's when you can transmit it. Alma of the Haaretz. After the Churban Beis Rishon, no one understood why. What happened? Shalal neviim v'loy pishua. Shalal the zakenim v'loy pishua. Shalal the bachzas malachi asharis v'loy pishua. No one was able to discern what was the sin. They were perfect. Once heard Rav Shach was on the beach of Netanya, 1983. So he said, if the Malachim and the Zakenim and the Nevi'im don't know, so what do you expect from people? And Rav Shach said, Vaistais a mensch darfsach kennen besser wie a Navi. To understand someone else, you have to be a Navi. To understand yourself, you should know what's going on. But... And they didn't understand. It was so subtle. And Avada they learned, and Avada they made Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, I'll more of the Oret. So the Eibishter said, "Al ozvam es Torahsi, that you have forsaken my Torah." What does it mean, forsaken Torah? Shloi birchu b'Torah tchila avada they'd learned, and avada they said birchus haTorah. But their birchus haTorah was a birchus haMitzvahs. It wasn't a birchus haNehenin. And if your Torah is not a birchus haNehenin, that's ozvam es Torahsi. That's called forsaking Torah. The essence of Torah, v'harav no Hashem alekenu, is divrei Sarascha befinu. Make the Torah sweet, and then v'niyah nachnu tzeretzeinu tzeretzeinu amchabes Yisrael kolonu yedei shemecha. Only then can it transmit, only then can we merit true Kedusha.